return for grace. It's a beautiful. Good morning. Welcome to the Health Matters Show with me, Neil De Silva, on this Monday morning, the 23rd of October. I hope you are all keeping well and had a great weekend. We've got a great show lined up this morning for the next hour or so. We're going to be talking about a number of different health-related items, including sweeteners. We're going to talk about antibiotics. We're going to have a chat about ways to de-stress and to relax, and I'm sure most of us could do with a bit of help in that regard. And we're going to wrap up with some ways to help those of you that employ staff to improve health in the workplace. So I have a special guest with me this morning. We have on the desk beside me, Denny Booker.
Morning.
Good morning. And how are you this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. And Denny's going to interject with me and converse with me as we go through the show this morning. And we're also going to interview her on the show in detail a bit later on to find out more about what she does. Okay, so the Health Matters radio show, the purpose of the show is to help to educate, to inform and to enlighten you, our listeners, as to ways to improve your own health with some simple tips and advice. And each week we'll have a different guest specialising in a different area of health and well-being to just explain what they do and to hopefully help you as well. Quick disclaimer, all content is provided for general information only and often is my opinion on things, and it shouldn't be treated as a substitute for the medical advice of your own doctor or any other healthcare professional. If you have any concerns about your general health, you should contact your local healthcare provider. Okay, if you'd like to tweet in this morning, the radio show Twitter page is @HealthRadioShow. If you'd like to use the hashtag, it's #HealthMattersRadioShow. You can also find the show on Facebook too. If you search Health Radio Show, you'll find it. But do follow the links. Do tweet in and say hello. If you have any questions, please do tweet. And if you'd like a shout out, tweet as well. I have the Twitter page in front of me, so I'm looking forward to reading out your tweets, your hellos and your questions. Right, okay, so on to the first subject. It's actually a news piece that came up on my feed this morning, which was to do with antibiotics. Now, as you probably know, there's a lot of press recently about the problems with antibiotic resistance. And I think doctors over the last couple of years have become much more aware of it. And they're now actually, they're now a lot more cautious about giving antibiotics out, particularly to people that don't really need them. And antibiotic resistance is becoming a huge problem, not just in this country, but in the Western world as well. Public Health England says that up to a fifth of antibiotic prescriptions are unnecessary, as many illnesses get better on their own. And the interesting thing is that unless your illness is bacterial, antibiotics won't work at all. They only work on bacterial infections. They don't work on viruses. So if you pick up the flu, for example, and you take antibiotics, what they could actually do is compromise your immune system and make you a lot sicker. So if you go to the doctors, and as I say, doctors are a lot more clued up on this now than they used to be. But it's always worth asking if the antibiotics are actually necessary. And in some cases, antibiotics are lifesavers and they are absolutely essential. But it's always worth asking the question, is this antibiotic actually going to help me and is it essential? So just going back to drug-resistant infections, Public Health England estimate that 5,000 people a year die of drug-resistant infections. 4 in 10 cases of E. coli infections now cannot be treated with antibiotics. By 2050, drug-resistant infections around the world are expected to kill more people than currently die from cancer. And antibiotics, as I mentioned, they are vital in some cases of things like sepsis, pneumonia, bacterial meningitis and other infections. But it is obviously worth making sure that you do definitely need them. Coughs and bronchitis, actually they can take up to 3 weeks to clear on their own, but they reckon that antibiotics only reduce that period of time down by 1 or 2 days. So actually you could argue that, you know, maybe if you've got a cough or you've got bronchitis, the antibiotics are perhaps not the right way to go with that medication. There is some research that has suggested that for infections that our body can handle, and you know we don't need pharmaceutical intervention, the advice is to have plenty of rest, use over-the-counter pain relief such as paracetamol, and to drink plenty of fluids. And it is worth bearing in mind that if you've got a viral infection, antibiotics won't do a thing for you. And bacteria, they are incredibly cunning. Once you start attacking them with antibiotics, they do find ways to survive and they learn. And that's one of the big problems with antibiotic resistance. And if drugs fail, not only do the infections become harder to treat, but common medical procedures, for example, cesareans and cancer treatments, could also become too risky. So definitely worth bearing in mind. It's hit the news in the last 24 hours. Antibacterial resistance is becoming a big problem. So, yes, if you think you need them, it's just worth checking with your doctor first. And if you don't need them, there are better ways to fight the illness. Okay, right. Next, we're going to go on to ways to de-stress. So I put together a list of great ways to help you to de-stress without resorting to, you know, that glass of wine that lots of people rely on at the end of the day, or perhaps stuff even stronger than that from time to time. I've come up with, 25 ways to relax. I'm going to give you 6 of them today, and I'll give you 6 of them next week, 6 the week after, and I'll give you the remainder in 4 weeks' time. So here are some natural and far more enjoyable ways to relax. Number one, read a good book. Sometimes the simplest suggestions give the greatest pleasure. Begin by checking out current bestsellers in the top 10 lists in both hardcover and paperback. And you should enjoy your reading. If you enjoy reading fantasy or romance or science fiction, you know, then choose those books. I quite like reading autobiographies. People like Richard Branson and Alan Sugar. I must admit, the thought of reading a romance book or fiction book just bores me senseless. But actually, it's good to learn. If you run your own business, it's good to learn from the people that have been there and done that. And I do find that the autobiographies of people like Branson and Sugar are actually quite interesting. It's also very inexpensive and it can be a very rewarding way to relax. And for some people that like to read romance, they can obviously indulge themselves in those sorts of novels. But actually, if you've got a skill set, it's a great way to learn more about what you do as well. Number two, get out and garden. Gardening is a fun and low-cost way to relax. Besides tidying up weeds and trimming back overhanging or overgrown bushes, you also have the opportunity to be quite creative and be quite colourful as well. So it works in terms of helping you to relax. It also works as quite a therapeutic tool as well. Number three, listen to music. One of the world's most universal pleasures is music. It doesn't matter what culture you look at, music is always integral to the fabric of the inhabitants. Music is used in rituals and ceremonies, from the simplest to the most sublime. Number four, practice yoga. This method of relaxation dates back as long as 10,000 years ago. Yoga is a very powerful tool and can be great to help you meditate and relax. There are different types of yoga, but one that us in the Western world are most familiar with is called Hatha yoga. So for those of you perhaps out there listening today, you've tried yoga, maybe tweet in and tell me how you've got on with it. Number five, engage in meditation. Meditation has been practiced for countless centuries to relieve stress, anxiety and depression, and also to treat a variety of illnesses. It also can help during treatment for addictive behaviours. It can help reduce blood pressure. It can also help you to alleviate pain and to relax as well. Meditation is the practice of focusing your attention to help you feel calm and give you a clear awareness about your life. And even simple things like focusing on your breathing can help your mind switch off from what's going on in your day-to-day life. Number six, and the last one for this week, take up jogging. Another inexpensive and easy way to relax is to take up jogging. All you really need is a good pair of running shoes and sometimes a go-ahead from your doctor that you're physically fit enough to start. Jogging is a great way to get your cardiovascular system in great shape, not to mention your legs. Jogging utilises all the muscles in your body, so you get a great workout in the process. You'll always want to do a good stretch of your arms, your legs and your back muscles before you begin. Also, make sure you're well hydrated and take water with you. And when you first start out, go slowly. So there you go. There's six ways that you can use, natural ways to improve your health and to de-stress. So that's read a good book, do some gardening, listen to some music, practice yoga, engage in meditation, and maybe if you're feeling energetic, take up jogging as well. Denny, do you have any thoughts on those?
I'm very much into the book reading, I have to say. That's one big thing for me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff to learn about, so yeah, I'm big on the book reading.
And what types of books do you like to read?
Stuff that you sort of mentioned about learning, you know, about the obviously being in the fitness industry now, yep. There's plenty to learn and the golf side, so I like to learn. I'm like a little sponge, so I like to sit there and consume all the knowledge and learn more. There's always stuff to learn,
isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. So. And I forgot to mention at the start that Denny is an ex-golf professional, so that'll be an interesting thing to discuss as we go through her interview. Right, okay, so the time is now coming up to 11:15. You are listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest today, Denny Booker. We're going to have a quick song, and hopefully this will get you in the mood for the Monday morning, and it will get you dancing on the table, perhaps. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes. Nowhere. When you dance, dance, dance. Feel a good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those stuff shouldn't do. But you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon. So keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on.
Ooh, it's something magical. It's in
just rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop that. You, when you dance, 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 feel a good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, 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 come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance.
That was Justin Timberlake with Can't Stop That Feeling, or Can't Stop The Feeling. I hope you enjoyed that and it got you pumping on this Monday morning. Okay, you're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest, Denny Booker, this morning. We're going to be interviewing Denny in about 15 minutes. Remember that you can tweet in. The Twitter handle is @HealthRadioShow with the hashtag, Health Matters Radio Show. Please tweet in, say hello, ask any questions. If you want to shout out, you know, feel free to tweet in. You can also find the show on Facebook as well, which is Health Radio Show. And if you do follow the Facebook or the Twitter feed, then you will get regular updates about the show. Okay, so we had a tweet come in a little bit early morning from a good friend of mine, Jules Serkin. And Jules asked how long she should be taking glutamine powder for. I'll be very honest with you, Jules. Not knowing for what reason you're taking it makes it very difficult to say how long you should take it for. However, what I will say is I've been taking L-glutamine now for about 2 years, and I take it daily on a, you know, on a regular basis, at least once a day. The reasons I take L-glutamine, and I encourage my clients to take it as well, is it's a natural substance, which is like it's an amino acid that helps to build, it's the building block for proteins. But L-glutamine is actually really, really good for your digestive system. It can help with things like stomach ulcers. It can help with conditions like colitis and also Crohn's disease. But one of the interesting things with L-glutamine is it can help with mood. So if you're suffering with depression or moodiness or irritability or anxiety or even insomnia, L-glutamine can actually help boost your mood and make you feel better. So I can't actually answer how long you should be taking it for, but I have been taking it every day for a couple of years and it hasn't done me any harm yet. So again, do your own research for those of you out there that are interested in L-glutamine. But it's something that I do recommend to my clients. It's actually very good for the gut, and it can help digestion as well. Okay, so the time is coming up now to 11:20. So for the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to discuss sweeteners. And the reason we're going to discuss sweeteners is I had a couple of tweets last week. One of my friends, Julian, who runs Southeast Tennis, he was talking about a condition he's got and the interaction between his condition and sweeteners. Now, it's a really big subject, as you can probably appreciate. So I will only be able to sort of skirt the surface of the issues with sweeteners and obviously my opinions on them. But if you'd like more information, if you'd like a chat with me and a bit more detail, you can contact me via my website. My website is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Click on the contact me page, drop me a line, and I'm happy to have a chat with you off air. But okay, so for the next 10 minutes, we'll talk about sweeteners. So artificial sweeteners, are they good or are they bad? Well, they were designed initially to be sugar substitutes. And they were designed, because most of them don't have calories, they were designed as a weight loss tool as well. The problem is more and more people are taking foods that are laced with artificial sweeteners. And there are many types out there, and aspartame is one of the worst, and we'll come on to that a bit later. But people are taking more and more diet drinks and low-fat this and no-fat that. And the problem is the obesity crisis in this country and across the pond as well is actually getting worse. And food companies are very careful and very crafty because they're managing to actually put a lot of sweeteners into our foods. And unless you're not au fait or you don't read the food labels, you would never know what you're consuming. So the artificial sweeteners, they mimic sugar. They mimic the flavour of sugar, but they don't often give you any energy. And in some cases, arguably, they could be quite toxic. So could the no-calorie sweetener that you rely on to replace the sugar in your diet cause weight gain instead of the weight loss that you were expecting? Well, actually, some studies suggest that that could be the case. People do actually consume sweeteners because they think it's a healthy choice. And, the food industry does actually educate us that, taking a certain type of sugar substitute is actually healthier than sugar. But what's interesting is around 40% of adults nominally consume artificial sweeteners on a daily basis. But they've done some studies recently that measure sweeteners in blood and urine, and they show that people that weren't consciously consuming these artificial sweeteners, they found residues of these sweeteners in these people's blood and urine, which goes to show that unless you actually read your food labels, and I encourage everyone to read their food labels, you don't really know what you're consuming. It pays to swat up on food labels so that you know what you're eating and what you're drinking. Now, one of the biggest issues with eating sugar-free sweeteners is the way it can trick the body into a state called hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar. So, for example, you have a sweetener and your body, your tongue detects its sweetness. So it sends all sorts of signals around the body into your brain that says we're about to get a dose of sugar and obviously the calories that go along with the sugar. So your body primes itself to receive these calories that it thinks it's going to get from what it thinks is sugar, but obviously is an artificial sweetener. So what happens is glucose gets cleared from your bloodstream and your blood sugar drops. But then no real sugar hits your system to compensate for the blood sugar drop. And when this happens, adrenaline and cortisol, which is a stress hormone, they surge to mobilize sugar from other sources. So your liver, your muscles, your other body tissues. And they do that to bring the blood sugar or the blood glucose back up. This frequent release of the stress hormones, which again I mentioned was cortisol and also adrenaline, in response to this hypoglycemia can be damaging to our adrenal glands and to our overall health. These stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, they're designed to be utilised when we need to be in a fight or flight response, not when we're eating a meal or drinking a drink. The consequence of this excess stress on our adrenal glands and this excess stress hormones in our system can result in a suppressed immune system. It can also result in increased inflammation. It can result in weight gain. And it also can result in impaired thyroid function. So it's quite a serious issue. Just to give you a bit of history, aspartame or aspartame, depending on how you pronounce it, was invented in 1965. It was invented by a chemist called James Schlatter, who was looking for an anti-ulcer drug when he stumbled upon a sweet taste by licking his finger. He was mixing aspartic acid and phenylalanine, which are two naturally occurring amino acids, but together they form aspartame. And that's how aspartame came into existence. And then in 1973, it entered the food chain as an artificial sweetener. So it's been with us quite a few years, and in my opinion, is possibly the worst of a bad bunch. There are research papers that suggest that artificial sweeteners are actually not very good for people who are trying to control their weight. They did some tests in the University of Texas, and they found that over 8 years, the more diet drinks a person drank, the more likely he or she was to gain weight, which was quite interesting research. They are not 100% sure whether it was due to the artificial sweeteners, but there is research that suggests actually it is the artificial sweeteners that are causing the problems, aside from the blood sugar issues. And they're actually... there are lingering health concerns about artificial sweeteners. You know, there are many other available out there on the market. As I mentioned, aspartame is one of the most common ones. And I think if you read your food labels when you go shopping a bit later today, you will be shocked as to how many artificial sweeteners are actually in your foods. So studies are still continuing. A 2008 study found that drinking more than two cans of diet drink a day doubled the risk of kidney decline in women. In 2012, a study suggested the possible connection between diet drinks and increased risk of cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular events. And several studies have discovered that daily consumption of diet drinks, and we're focused on diet drinks because that's the common source of artificial sweeteners, but do bear in mind it's in other foods as well. A daily consumption of diet drinks might be linked to a thing called metabolic syndrome, which is a type of pre-diabetes, but also type 2 diabetes as well. And the suggestion is that it's the alteration in the way that the artificial sweeteners affect the gut bacteria and the way that they metabolise the artificial sweeteners as well. So quite interesting there. Okay, a couple of other things to consider. We mentioned aspartame or aspartame. Aspartame is a chemically enhanced artificial sugar. It's in thousands of different types of foods, including things like chewing gums and yogurts and diet drinks and desserts. They even put it in bread as well. One of the problems with aspartame, and it was highlighted in an Air Force publication, American Air Force publication called Flying Safety. And in this publication, US Air Force pilots were warned not to consume aspartame in any amounts. And the magazine goes on to quote the reason why. And it says, aspartame has been investigated as a possible cause of brain tumours, mental retardation, birth defects, epilepsy, Parkinson's disease, fibromyalgia and diabetes. So that's the US Air Force warning its own pilots not to consume aspartame. So, again, you know, make your own mind up. It's all about making educated choices. Do your own research. But actually, eliminating artificial sweeteners from the diet is not as difficult as it might sound. Just simply read the food labels. If it's got aspartame, if it's got a sulfamine K, which is a sulfamine potassium, if it's got saccharin or sucralose or any sweeteners that you can't even pronounce in some cases, just don't eat them. You know, in my opinion, it's not a good substitute for sugar. And if you're using sweeteners as a way to come off of sugar, then have a method in place where you can actually come off the sweeteners as well. It's a bit like people that stop smoking and they start vaping. It's great. You know, you could argue that vaping is healthier than smoking, albeit not healthy. But you need a process to help you come off the vaping as well. And sweeteners are the same. You know, if you're coming off of sugar and you're going on to sweeteners, then find a method or a process or support to help you get off the sweeteners at some point. Don't depend on sweeteners long term. And there's one last report I've got here that suggests that artificial sweeteners could increase the risk of diabetes in just 2 weeks. So at the moment, diabetes is suffered by about 4 million people in this country. And studies have shown that a high intake of sweeteners can lead to a greater risk of diabetes, which for most people is quite counterintuitive because we've been taught for years that it's sugar that's the problem. But actually, because of the way that sweeteners mimic sugar, this shows you that they can lead to diabetes as well. So at the end of 2 weeks after this research exercise went on, they examined the levels of glucose absorption, blood glucose, insulin and gut peptides. And they found that people that are given artificial sweeteners had a heightened response across all of those areas. None of the measures were altered in the volunteers that were given the placebo. So it's worth bearing in mind that not only can artificial sweeteners arguably be damaging to the body long term, and it can lead to things like weight gain and metabolic syndrome, but it could actually make you more susceptible to diabetes as well. I've got lots more information on this subject, more than I can cover in the 10 minutes that I've allowed myself. But if you'd like to chat about artificial sweeteners, drop me a line. Either tweet me on the Health Matters Radio Show Twitter handle, which is at Health Radio Show, or drop me a line via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, and I'd be happy to have a chat to you about those. Okay, time for a quick advert, and then we will have a quick song.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Okay, time for a quick song now, and it's a great classic that's for a few years now, but I absolutely love. It's Mr. Brightside by The Killers.
Coming out of my cage, and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. It started out with a kiss, how did it end up like this? It was only a kiss, it was only a kiss. Now I'm falling asleep, and she's calling a cab while he's having a smoke, and she's taking a drag. Now they're going to bed, and my stomach is sick, and it's all in my head, but she's touching his chest now.
The Bright Side by The Killers. Okay, welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. Feel free to tweet in. The Twitter handle is at Health Radio Show with the hashtag, hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Tweet in, say hello, drop me a line. If you want to shout out, I look forward to hearing from you. Okay, so now we're going to go on to our guest for the day. And my guest is Denny Booker. Good morning, Denny. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so we're going to learn a bit more about what you do and your specialist field in health and fitness. So let's start with the basics. What's your background?
Well, as you can probably detect from the accent, I grew up in Australia after we moved there when I was just one. So I had quite a good opportunity to play a lot of sports as I was growing up, which led me to my golf career. I had a scholarship in Melbourne, which then led me to turn pro. I came over to England and played on the Ladies European Tour for about 8-9 years. I had some success early on and won the Italian Open, so I was doing very well. After that, I did suffer some injuries and whatnot, which after a while I did end my career, so to speak, which then took me to a different career entirely, and I became a paramedic. And I was a paramedic for 12 years. For the last 3 years, I've been a disability assessor, assessing people with their disabilities, which led me to my current vocation. I saw a lot of people with health conditions, and I thought, with my interest in sports and nutrition, and I'd like to help people out in that area. And combined with my medical background and my golfing background, I felt that both of those areas were of big interest to me.
Wow, excellent, excellent. So you've done quite a lot of different things.
Yes, I've been around the block. I've done a lot of travelling and seen a lot of places. I really love my golf and my sports and the fitness and nutrition and all that's been a real interest for 20 plus years. And I sort of suddenly found myself sitting there one day at work thinking, why don't I do something that I really love? And something that I've trialed and, you know, had my own tribulations with over the years and learnt my way that now hopefully I can help other people in golf and fitness.
Excellent. Yeah, and you do tend to find that actually the most passionate people, or the people that are most passionate about their careers, are the ones that have had some form of, not tragedy necessarily, but personal experience that's led them on a particular path. Definitely. And we were discussing before the show started about weight loss. And we have both gone through a weight loss process in the past.
Definitely.
You know, we are of good weights now, but we never used to be at one particular time.
No.
So we've done that journey. And for those of you out there that struggle with your weight, talking to someone who's done the journey, not just rap about it, but actually experience the ups and downs of, in this case, losing weight, you'll find that the people that have done that journey are the ones that are best placed to actually help and support and coach you through that process, because it can be quite difficult, as we both know.
Definitely.
So, excellent. So in what ways do you help people?
With the golf, I'm fortunate to have had many hats in the teaching, playing, and now the fitness side of things. So I think I offer a unique approach of across the board with the golf side of things. People are not really aware, I think, of how important fitness in golf is, with stability, flexibility, minimising risk of injuries in golf, for whatever level it is. It can be elite levels or it can be just your social golfers. I think it's very important for people that, you know, just want to be able to get around a whole game of golf, for example, just improving their stability in their core and flexibility, and just building a little bit of golf specific exercises can really help their performance and longevity of the game. The same goes with health conditions. I think a lot of people out there are a little worried about exercising because they think, oh, what if I make the pain worse, or if I do something and then I'm really ill, and they don't really know what they should be doing perhaps with exercise and eating well, and obviously they take medications. Mm-hmm. They're sort of worried about the impact of exercising, and often they don't want to attend a gym or some big place like that. It's a bit worrying. So, you know, with my, you know, home studio that I'm opening shortly, that it, you know, offers a very comfortable and small environment that's hopefully non-intimidating, and I can offer the guidance to kind of help them with that.
And whereabouts is your home studio going to be?
I'm down in Hythe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm converted the front room of my house in just a small studio there.
Excellent.
Which is actually opening on the 1st of November.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So I've just been working with a few people in the interim whilst that's been going on, doing some golf swing analysis and postural assessments at a local driving range that I use in mm-hmm. In Ashford at Great Chart. They've been very good and let me use their facilities to help people with the golf side.
Yep.
So combined with my golf swing analysis and postural side of things with a fitness program, it gives me this whole outlook of someone's golf swing to give them a complete package, really. You know, I can integrate my fitness side of things into the golf swing and hopefully get people playing a little bit better quicker.
Excellent. And I think your home gym is a really good idea, actually, because I think it fills the gap between people that perhaps don't want to go to a gym.
And, mm-hmm,
you know, it can be quite intimidating if you are a bit out of shape. And those that want to exercise at home but don't have anyone to coach them or support them or push them. And I think it's a good middle ground. So
definitely, yeah.
I'm sure that'd be really, really successful. Okay, so what successes have you had with clients?
I've been working with a few people in my gym, as it was, so to speak, but now sort of revamped and properly kitted out. Up until now, I've been working with some people, specifically one lady who's suffering with arthritis and weight problems. Also has some problems with sort of low mood due to that. And we've come a long way with changing her mindset. I think a lot of it is motivational and just support, really, and just gradually changing people's way of thinking about food and exercise, and that it doesn't all have to be painful. You know, you can have quite a good journey on the way. It can be enjoyable and have a bit of fun. And changing that with her, and she's become a lot more confident and is gradually losing weight now and is having less pain. Obviously, the catch 22, you lose some weight, then mm-hmm. you feel less pain and
yep.
you start moving better, and obviously the mood improves. So that's been really good to see, that the gradual changes there. Also with the golf side of things, I've only been able to do the sort of swing analysis and golf assessments at the local range.
Mm-hmm.
They've been going well and had good feedback with people that have had those so far, giving us some golf related tips. So hopefully now the studio is coming up to open and I can get stuck into the actual programs for both the wellbeing side and also the golf.
Fantastic. So I noticed on your website, and Denny's website is www.dennybooker.co.uk. On your website there's a couple packages. I noticed there's a golf package. So
yep,
tell me about your golf package.
So specifically, as I said, it offers the swing analysis and postural assessment initially.
Yep.
To find out the areas of concern or weakness. So then I can specifically tailor a fitness program to the needs of that person, offering golf-specific exercise, you know, core stability, flexibility,
mm-hmm.
all those sorts of things. You know, golfers tend to use one side of the body, so it's kind of making sure you even it all up. And obviously doing exercises that will promote better flexibility and to reduce the risk of injury, because there's a lot of lower back injuries and people tend to forget certain parts of their body from having sat all day,
mm-hmm.
sitting at desks and driving, and
mm-hmm.
it's not the greatest lifestyle generally people have for a golf swing. So it's kind of getting us using muscles that we don't normally do on a daily basis.
Sounds good. I must admit I'm not a golfer, but it's something that sounds very interesting to me.
Yeah.
So is it of benefit to people that are not really into golf?
Definitely. Like I said, it can be of any sort of standard of golf. I mean, it's just if you want to improve your golf, or just you'll find that just in improving your core stability and power, you can, you know, can maybe hit the ball a little bit further and a bit more consistently. But being able to look at it from a player and a fitness coach's aspect, you know, perspective, it makes it easier for me to integrate things in place and get results hopefully a little bit quicker and a bit more permanently. And the same being for the wellbeing program, I offer a 8-week program there twice weekly. Again, I think it's the support and motivation a lot of people require, and just changing the way of thinking, and that, you know, exercise and eating well doesn't have to be a chore.
I agree.
It can be quite simple, and it's quite clear. You don't, you know, it's not that difficult. I think a lot of people have been overwhelmed with a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
They don't quite know what to do. So
yeah, there's been a lot of contradictory information over the last 10, 20 years, hasn't there?
Definitely. Which I've suffered myself. You know, yeah. I've worked over the last 20 years of things that have worked and haven't worked. And yeah. I think, oh gosh, now I cringe back yeah. when I think of some of the things I did, like cutting fats out completely and
mm-hmm.
and amongst other things. But you learn, and hopefully I can help people with those sorts of things without depriving themselves like I perhaps did many years ago.
Fantastic. So we touched on your golf package and your wellbeing package. Just backtrack a little bit to your job as a paramedic.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got any interesting or funny stories of your life as a paramedic that you can that you're allowed to tell us about?
Well, there's plenty to tell. Probably too many of them are a bit gruesome. Yes, I've had some interesting, I suppose you could say, probably baby deliveries, actually, amongst the interesting ones, where we've given, people have given birth in the back of the ambulance on a motorway, or, you know, in a bathroom on a on a nice cream carpet. But yes, I could think of many, but I probably shouldn't mention them on air, 'cause a bit squeamish people.
That's fair enough. You mentioned that your studio is going to be opening in November. What's your date?
The 1st of November I'm planning to open. I'm sort of in the midst of finishing up and making it all look nice and ready to go, and my kit's arrived now, and that's just been put up. So it's
fantastic.
Just doing the nice finishing touches, and I'm hoping that it will be the first time offering a sort of special to get a few people in the door.
Okay.
Initially, so that'd be great. If people don't want to commit immediately to a package, obviously an 8-week package is quite a commitment. So I appreciate that people might want to come and see me first. So
mm-hmm.
I'm offering the first consultation free for the first 2 weeks, just to get people in. If they want to drop in, just, you know, if they want to book in and come and have a look, even, and have a chat to see what I offer.
Fantastic. So who is your ideal client? Who out there are you really trying to appeal to?
Well, as far as the golf's concerned, any golfer really, from even, you know, juniors, that's when I started. I think it's really important to get the youngsters up and coming. From women, I think women could be sort of more, the younger woman doesn't seem to play golf as much over here as they did in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But any level of golf, up to retired people that just want to play a little bit more. And then obviously the wellbeing side of things, I think it's just being available to people that maybe are a little bit stuck or a bit lost as to what they should be doing with conditions that they, you know, they're a bit fearful of doing stuff. They maybe want a bit of guidance and a bit of support as to what they should be doing and help along the way. So that's it. Just a clear and simple approach, I think, and just offering that support on the way and helping them along.
Okay. And here's an interesting question. Obviously, I mean, I've worked in this industry now for many years, and there's a lot of people that work in the health and fitness and wellbeing industry.
Mm-hmm.
What reasons should people come to you?
I think because I understand what it's like to have been there. I've had my struggles with weight. I've also struggled with injury. You know, when I was on tour, I had fluctuating weight because I was off tour, on tour, and I didn't really eat very well, and I tried lots of things that really were not very good. So I had massive fluctuations of weight, and also injury. I injured myself not long after I won with my back, and I struggled quite some time with that. So there were two big things that have... I've learned a lot over the years of how to deal with and how not to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with my medical background as well as a paramedic, and having seen and assess people with disabilities over the last 3 years, I think there's a little bit of a gap, you know, with people that do have conditions that really don't know who to turn to particularly, and they they have a lot of maybe pain relief that's helping them with the pain, but they don't have a knowledge or, you know, particular place to go with regards to starting to move again. Because mm-hmm. I think that the importance of moving is massive with people that have health conditions. You know, exercise is the so important to people improving their quality of life, whether you have a condition or not. It's the key to improving it all again, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Excellent. And you mentioned that you do a free initial consultation.
Yeah.
So in the first instance, if someone wants to speak with you, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
They can either contact me via my website. There's a contact button there, or on Facebook. I'm also on Facebook. You can also call me through there.
Okay.
Or on my mobile number is on both of those pages.
Okay.
And I will get back to you as soon as they have left a message.
And as a last reminder, what's your website address?
It is www.dennybooker.co.uk.
Super. Thank you very much, Denny. Thank you for coming in. I hope you've enjoyed the experience.
I have. Thank you very much for having me. It's been wonderful.
And I'm sure people have learned much more about you, and we'll get in touch with you. So just a reminder, Denny's website is dennybooker.co.uk, and if you search Denny Booker Fit on Facebook, then you can contact her through the Facebook page.
Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
So we're coming up to 11:52. So how time flies when you're having fun. It's been a great show today. I'm sure there's lots of you out there that have learned lots of things about your health and well-being. And if you have any questions about anything that's been discussed on the show today, then please feel free to either tweet in or to drop me a line via my website. So for the last 5 minutes of the show, I'm going to talk to you about health in the workplace. Health in the workplace and healthy employee packages is one of the services that I offer through my business, Iron Nutrition. My packages are great for companies up to about 15 people. But what I'd like to do is give you some health tips that might help you as an employer to improve the overall health of your employees, which in turn increases their productivity. It can increase their profitability as well, and it can also help to reduce downtime with things like sickness absence and what have you. So I've got a number of different tips here. I've actually got over 50, but I'll go through a couple with you today. And perhaps if you do employ people, you might find that there's some tips in here that you can put into place, often at very, very low cost, that can help your employees to be happier and healthier. So things like focusing on general prevention. So again, prevention is better than cure. So what you could do, number one, is you could have a doctor visit your workplace and speak to your employees about common health issues. Or number two, you could offer, you could look to offer rebates or incentives on health insurance. And actually, companies that offer health insurance have found that it's a good retention tool. Yes, there is that initial cost, and if you speak to your accountant, I'm sure he'll tell you it's tax deductible, perhaps. But it's actually a great way to retain staff and reduce your overall recruitment costs. So encouraging healthier eating. Most of us know that healthy eating can help prevent future disease, such as diabetes and cancer. But did you know that unhealthy eating is linked with a 66% increased risk of loss of productivity? So here's some simple tips to help your employees improve their health or improve their healthier eating in the workplace. So provide a fridge for them to bring their healthy lunches in from home. Provide a fruit bowl for free fruit. Buy healthy lunches for your team meetings. Replace sugary drinks in your staff fridge with healthier options. Consider installing a juicer or a blender, or even a sandwich press, so your team can make their own lunches. Develop a healthy food and drink workplace policy, including a healthy catering policy. If you have in-house catering, provide and consider subsidising healthy food and drink options. When arranging catering, identify healthy options on all menus, restrict unhealthy options. Ensure any on-site vending machines contain water and low energy and low sugar drinks and snacks. And just quickly to touch on smoking, as we're aware, smoking is a large reason for deaths around the world. And actually, the effects of smoking in the workplace is paramount to better employee health, or reducing them, I should say. So a couple of tips to help reduce smoking in the workplace. Ensure your workplace and all company vehicles are smoke-free. Develop a smoke-free policy in your company and have smoke-free company events. Encourage employees to join a quit smoking program and consider subsidising these programs. Encourage employees to talk to their doctor about quitting smoking. And finally, subsidise aids to quit smoking, such as nicotine replacement patches or therapy. So there's a few tips there. If you do employ staff and you want your staff to be happier and more productive and potentially more profitable, then you really do have to look after their health. And there's some tips there that hopefully you could put into place that will help you along that route. And if you need any more advice on health in the workplace, I do offer a free audit. Just contact me through my website, i-nutrition.co.uk. Get in touch with me and we'll have a chat. Right, we are in the last seconds of the show now. Time has flown. I'd like to once again thank my special guest, Denny Booker, today for
thank
coming.
Thank you for having me.
It's been great to chat with you. And I'm sure people will be in touch with you following your chat with me today. Just to remind you, the next show is next Monday at 11 o'clock. So it'll be great to get some feedback on how you thought this show has gone, and also to hear your tweets and read your tweets and get you to tune in next week. And so until next week, I bid you farewell. Have a great week, and I will see you next Monday at 11 o'clock.
Is a bloom shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful up first light.